Let's pray. Your gracious and heavenly Father, as we come this Christmas season, Lord, we come with hearts that know what it is to long, to wait, and to hope. Lord, we thank you that you are not distant from these feelings, but you meet us right in the middle. Lord, as we open your word, help us see Emmanuel, God with us. Pierce our darkness with your light and anchor our weary hearts, Lord, in the hope that only Jesus can bring. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Well, new series. Christmas decorations. Thank you to Tamara and Taylor and Nashel. Where is the youth over there still? Killed it yesterday. DJ was even playing the drums a little bit. Is he here? Is he in here? Oh, he's back. Okay. I almost said, hey, you want to take these home and practice? And right before I said that, I was like, I don't want Tamara to punch me in the face. But he's taking him home tonight, so it's all good. He just doesn't know it yet. Neither does Tamara. All right, but hey, I'm excited about this series, Carols for the King. Obviously, today we're going to be talking about O Come, Emmanuel. That's why the last song that we played was that. And of course, like I mentioned last week, this is kind of a continuation of hope. Right, last week we talked about hope. This week we're going to talk about hope again. It's not going to be a mirror image of last week. But what I want you to do is I want you to think about this particular message in the context of what First Fruits does. Right, it's First Fruits Sunday. Right, so what is First Fruits? First Fruits often provides hope to people who feel hopeless. Right, for those who might not know what First Fruits is. It's an offering that we take up once a year, and it is used exclusively for our community. $0 stays in the church. 100% goes into our communities to help others. So think of today's message kind of in that context of, you know, the hope that we are able to do through God's grace and you know, favor on our church to be able to provide some level of, you know, financial assistance or, you know, something for somebody in the context of First Fruit. So just kind of think of that as kind of the undertone for today. Now, I'm not going to be mentioning First Fruits throughout the message, but I do want to kind of lay that out there so everybody kind of knows where we're coming from. But there is something about Christmas that kind of amplifies longing, right? You know, you long to be with family and friends, and you long to, you know, do different things, have different traditions, but then there's also some that might just try to get through it. Right? Just try to get through Christmas. It's a bit of a challenge sometimes. You know, even the songs, you know, we sing during Christmas time. You know, I'll be home for Christmas, right? Maybe in my dreams, I'll be home for Christmas, right? Or have yourself a merry little Christmas. But implied there is that maybe it won't be such a merry Christmas because you got to remind yourself to try to have a merry little Christmas. But Christmas music is beautiful because it acknowledges what every human being and every human heart knows and longs for, and that's for someone, right? And that someone is Emmanuel. Then we talk about, O come, Emmanuel. Now, this one is kind of an interesting one, right? It's kind of slow, somewhat haunting, but it is beautiful nonetheless. It's born from longing, and it kind of sounds like a prayer that's being whispered, but it is indeed a beautiful song. good news is God knows how to meet people where they're at. If anybody's been there at any time, you know that God can meet you and does meet you exactly where you're at. So today, let's take a look at Emmanuel, not simply as a Christmas theme, but instead as Emmanuel, an answer to human hopelessness. An answer to human hopelessness. So we're going to kind of park around Isaiah and Matthew a little bit this morning. So Isaiah 7 kind of brings us into this national crisis where King Ahaz is terrified because armies are surrounding Judah. Fear is high. Fear is elevated. Strategy meetings are going on. There's a lot of things happening. People are whispering in the corners. You know, political advisors might have had an extra cup of coffee that day, right? Whatever. There's a whole lot of things going on. Take a look at Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. So this was God saying to Ahaz, you're worried about the wrong things. All the things that you're concerned about are not what you should be concerned about. You're measuring your hope by the size of the enemy instead of what? The size of your God. And Ahaz wanted military strength, and God gave him the promise of a child. Now, we think hope comes when the situation changes, but God says hope comes when he shows up. When he shows up. And I'm grateful for that. Right? Now, if in the midst of the things that we're going through, I would bet that we would probably really like for our circumstances to change. Right? Maybe it's something difficult or whatever it is. But just know that God says hope comes when he shows up. Sometimes we want him to fix the crisis. Instead, he says he's going to fix the heart. Sometimes we pray, God, solve this right now. And this is what he responds. I am right there with you. I am walking through the thick of it with you. I know it's not a whole lot of fun, but hey, I'm going to pull you through. Maybe I'll kick you through. Maybe I'll have to punch you to get you through. But I am with you and will continue to be with you. Now, the sign that we're talking about in Isaiah 7 is not some sort of political sign. It was a person. The sign was Emmanuel. Now, think of it as like a dark room, right? Let's just say, just pretend, maybe even close your eyes. This room is completely dark, and I have, you know, a single candle right here on the, you know, the podium or whatever. And then I light the candle, and it might not illuminate the entire room, but it'll illuminate enough. And that's really where Ahaz was at, right? All he saw was a bunch of darkness. And what did God do? He's bringing a child. He's bringing the Savior. He's bringing the light, right? That light is nothing that can be extinguished, right? That light will continue to burn and burn and burn and burn forever. One child would bring that light. One. You know, a couple chapters later in Isaiah 9, he continues the theme. There's still people in darkness. There's still people that are anxious and uncertain. But take a look at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. Sounds pretty cool, right? Now, do you notice anything in here? You don't see them running to the light. You see the light coming to them. You see the light coming to them, meeting them right where they're at. Just like you cannot force mourning to happen early or the temperature to not be -4. You can't force hope to arrive on your terms, right? Hope comes when God sends it, when he sends it. You know, I know I'll speak for myself. I would love to have things done on my terms, right? That would be so awesome. But where would I grow? Where would I have to lean on God? Where would I have to do any of these different things that we do as a follower of Jesus if everything just kind of fell into place for myself? Then what do I need to rely on God for? No, God is with us through the thick of it. He's walking in the midst of all of our struggles and challenges and everything. He is with us. Then we go a little further to verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 9. It says, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this." So we hear these names a lot, right? Especially during Christmas time. And really, sometimes we might hear them so often that we might risk really comprehending, or we might risk forgetting how shocking they are. Wonderful Counselor. Do you need wisdom? Jesus is the answer. Woohoo! Thank goodness I don't have to know everything on my own. Mighty God, do you feel powerless? Jesus is strong enough. Eternal Father, this is important. Do you feel alone? He is with you. Prince of Peace, do you feel overwhelmed? His peace isn't fragile or temporary. Philippians 4 says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So hope isn't just positive thinking. Hope is a person with four names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Hope is God stepping into the darkness. Right, we've all been in a dark place at a time in our life, right? When God steps in, that's when things change. You know, we try to do things on our own, and we don't rely on God when we're going through something. We need to allow him to step in the mess. Have you ever unwrapped a Christmas gift that you didn't ask for and you didn't know that you needed? Right? Think about Jesus, right? This is this gift. I don't remember if it was Christmas or if it was my birthday, but it was literally the greatest gift I've ever received in my life, besides Jesus. I don't know if anybody has a Pampered Chef rice cooker. Okay, I had one. I used it constantly. It eventually started getting a little questionable. I'd have little black flakes of the plastic in my rice. I was able to overlook it for a while, and then it was time to maybe get rid of it. So I got another one. But Pampered Chef changed how they made it. Huh. Talk about devastation. I was pretty sad. So Amanda found on eBay the old school Pampered Chef rice cookers. And she didn't get just one of them. She got two of them. And let me tell you, I haven't been, you've heard me say it before, I am not a fan of receiving gifts. I just don't like it. I love giving gifts. I don't really care about receiving gifts. I was so excited. So my niece Abby, I'm just going off on a tangent, so just bear with me. My niece Abby loves Menards. She came up here to visit. We had to go to Menards. I don't know if she's going to watch, so I'm not going to tell you, say what my dad and I did, but we went to Menards. And I can just picture Abby. So we said, I took a picture of my dad in front of Menards, and we sent it to Abby. And she said, in like all capital letters in response, "Yes, I love Menards." Right? It's almost like, you know, one of these, like, "Oh my gosh, Menards is my favorite." It's like the gift that is the greatest gift from the world is just a picture of my dad in front of Menards. That's what I want us to be like with Jesus. The gift is something that we perhaps didn't know that we needed, realized that we needed something far better than our own, you know, thoughts and desires and feelings and all these different things. No, we needed Jesus. We need Jesus. And we need to be like this. Oh, Jesus is the greatest in the world. And we need to tell everybody how excited we are that Jesus is in our life. I don't even remember where I'm at now. Versus Matthew. Oh, hold on. There's one of your notes here. Hope doesn't always look the way we expect, but it always looks like Jesus. So my rice cooker, right? You just think of that as Jesus, right? I was so excited. I want that same excitement for all of us when we look at Jesus. Like, oh my gosh, just overwhelmed with gratitude and excitement and love and affection. Now let's fast forward to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And then we go a little further, and this is where Matthew connects Isaiah 7. "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." So this is the moment where longing becomes reality. Where longing becomes reality. The prayer from the carol becomes the truth. O come, Emmanuel, moves from desire to now fulfillment. From desire to fulfillment. Jesus is Emmanuel. The hope promised in Isaiah is the hope fulfilled in Matthew. Now Joseph probably felt overwhelmed. Right? He probably felt overwhelmed. His world is completely flipped upside down. He's, you know, he's due to marry. And now his you know, fiance is like, "Oh, FYI, I'm pregnant." Right? What, like, all this is crazy is going on. And what happens? God's instructions were simple. Take Mary as your wife. Name the child Jesus. Raise him. And trust me. Sometime hope arrives simply. Maybe not in any type of fireworks or grand announcements. Sometimes hope arrives as a quiet whisper from God telling you to trust him in the season you are in. Trust him in the season you are in. I get it. That is tough. Because sometimes the seasons that we're in are excruciatingly painful. But if we go back to the Prince of Peace, right, this peace that surpasses all understanding, it's even just completely beyond our comprehension of the peace that he provides. So when we're going through the stuff, he is with us, and he provides that peace. So what does all this mean for us today? John 1 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So God didn't send just a representative. He came himself. He came as a child so nobody would be, intimidated to approach him. You think about that. If, you're holding a baby, right? I mean, maybe there's a little bit of fear, like, oh, I don't want to drop this baby. But when you're holding a baby, it's like, oh, look how precious this little baby is. He's, he or she is relying on me to keep him safe. To make sure to provide, nourishment or whatever, like this baby relies on you. We can approach baby in the same way we approach Jesus. Hebrews 4 says, reminds us that Jesus is able to sympathize. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus knew it all. He knew hunger. He knew exhaustion. He knew pain. He knew the whole thing. Right? So there's nothing that we can bring to him that he doesn't already know. Right? Romans 8:31 says, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So Christmas is proof that God is not distant, angry, or uninterested. Christmas is God stepping into the mess to redeem it. Stepping into the mess to redeem it. It's in your notes. O come, Emmanuel is not a cheerful song. It's really a cry for deliverance. It was originally sung by believers who felt exiled, burned, and longing for a savior, or burdened and longing for a savior. And maybe that's how some of you might feel today. You have this burden that you just can't shake. That's why I prayed, before we start the service, Lord, take the burdens that is preventing us from completely worshiping you this morning. Take them from us. We don't want to be held back from worshiping you at all. Some people love Christmas. I love Christmas the day after Thanksgiving. You know that, right? But some people just endure it. They just try to get through it. Second by second, hour by hour, they just try to get through it. Christmas lights only highlight the darkness that they feel inside. So if that's you, if that's any of you, Emmanuel came for weary people. Matthew 11:28, it says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's not a suggestion, that's a promise. Come to me, come to Jesus, and I will give you rest. I have had to lean on that verse a lot over the past several months. Hope does not mean absence of hardship. Hope means the presence of God. There's a family who has this ornament, this Christmas ornament. It has been passed, as a glass ornament, has been passed down from generations to generations. And as they were decorating the Christmas tree, their four-year-old son, who was, just strung out on sugar cookies and hot chocolate, got up to put it on the tree and tripped and fell, and it just shattered into a bunch of different pieces. We're talking decades-old Christmas ornament. And he just started crying because he knew the magnitude of what just happened. And his dad, instead of just getting all fired up and, hollering at him like, oh, I can't believe you did this. This thing is so old and worth so much, to us sentimentally. No, instead the dad picked up all of the pieces of not only the ornament, but also his son, who was just devastated at breaking this. So they just sat down at the table and they glued it piece by piece by piece. And it never looked the same, but it was much more beautiful, in fact, much more beautiful because of what it represented. It represented grace and mercy and love and forgiveness. It didn't represent, you know, anger and hate and hurt. That's what Emmanuel means. God does not wait for us to be unbroken. Thank God, because we'd be waiting forever. He comes into the cracked, shattered, messy places of our lives and says, I am with you, and I will restore you. So he doesn't wait for us to be ready. Oh my goodness, if he waited for us to be ready, he'd be waiting for a long time, right? Psalm 34 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit. Hope is not perfection. Hope is presence. Hope is presence. You know, we think of, you know, like ourselves, right? Like we have this piece of rope, and in this rope we have a knot. We'll just say this knot represents us, and it represents all of the weaknesses and the struggles that we have in our life, all the things kind of holding us back from truly, excuse me, and completely focusing on and worshiping God. There's just everything, whatever it is. It could be, you know, addictions, finances, you know, whatever it is. This is us. This is all the brokenness that we feel in our life. And then what happens is Jesus comes along, and he just says, hey, man, I get it. You guys are having some trouble. And all he does, he wraps himself around our hurt, our pain and our struggles, all the things that are holding us back. He just gives us one of them big old bear hugs and he doesn't let go. That's Jesus. That's Emmanuel. That's what he does for us, is he protects us. Jesus doesn't remove our struggles. He reinforces us with his presence. He reinforces us with his presence. Right? Have you ever broken a bone before? Right? And then take a look in an x-ray several months later, and you know, maybe there's, you know, how it's healed is, you know, just feels a little bit more bulky and a little bit more, you know, secure, I guess. It's Jesus. Jesus is just securing us. He's helping us through everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says, and if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. So when Jesus enters our life, he becomes that extra strength. Right? He becomes that extra strength that holds us together, even when everything else feels like it's falling apart. Even when everything else feels like it's falling apart, Jesus is holding us together. So what do we do? First thing we need to do is we need to invite Emmanuel into our circumstances. Right, I've always said, he's not a bully. He's not just going to barge into our life. We have to be willing and ready for him to come into our life and to take over and do what he needs to do to make things right for us. Philippians 4:13 says, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. So hope grows when Christ becomes the strength. When he becomes the strength of our own life. And the second thing is we need to trust his timing. Whoo! That's a full stop. That's not a yield sign. That's a full stop. We got to trust his timing. That's hard. That is so hard. Honestly, it's my least favorite part. It's trusting his timing, waiting. Right? Not a huge fan. Just be full transparent with you. But it's something that we absolutely have to do. We have to trust his timing. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord." Do you see what happened there? They started that verse with, "Wait for the Lord." And then a really cool little bookend on the other end was, by the way, wait for the Lord. Right? Twice in a single verse. It's important. When you feel like help is delayed, remember that hope is not denied. God is always on time. God is always on time. And the third thing we need to do is we need to reflect Emmanuel to others. It's all about sharing. In Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden." So if Emmanuel is with us, then Emmanuel will shine through us to others. Right? When I was talking about how the goodness of God intersected with our life, we need to make sure that we share that with other people. And the final thing is we need to rejoice. It's not a command to fake happiness, but to be truly rejoicing in everything that he has done for us. Rejoice does not say your circumstances are easy. Rejoice says your Savior is near. Your Savior is near. Rejoice declares that darkness doesn't win. It proclaims that hope has come. It reminds us that God is with us, even when life feels heavy. Even if the prayers are not yet answered, even if the road ahead is uncertain, we can rejoice because our hope is in Emmanuel. So Christmas is the season where heaven and earth meet. Right? This is just the beginning of this season. It's a moment when God says, "I am not far away." Right? I am literally right here with you. I am right here. So as we reflect on Isaiah's prophecy and Matthew's fulfillment, as we hear the longing in the carol, may the truth of Emmanuel settle deep in our hearts. So when you face fear, remember Emmanuel. When you feel alone, remember Emmanuel. When you wrestle with doubt, remember Emmanuel. When you wonder if God sees you, remember Emmanuel. Because hope has come, hope is here, and hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us today that hope is not an idea, but a person, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Father, as we leave this place, carry this truth with us deep in our spirits, that we are never alone, we are never forgotten, and we're never without your presence. Lord, strengthen every weak place in our life. Shine your light into every shadow and help us reflect your hope to those people longing for that hope of their own, Lord. Father, let the song of our hearts be simple and sure. Rejoice, for God is with us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.